Senate is called back to order. Members and guests, please rise for the invocation by Chaplain Johnson of the Senate. Remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Chaplain Johnson.
Let's pray. Father, with David, we can say this afternoon, my heart is confident in you, O God. People put confidence in all kinds of things, relationships, money, prestige, but we know that it is in you alone that we can truly rest. In our work today and this week, God, give us patience as at times we just have to wait. Give us new understanding and ideas to bring resolution to the remaining issues before us in this session. And we pray not for just any resolution, but a resolution that honors you. God, this is our prayer. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secretary, take the roll. Senator Hayman. Senator Usher.
Mr. President, 50 members are present.
Quorum being present, the Senate's ready for business. Without objection, we'll go to our order of business number two, reports of standing committees.
Mr. President, we are Committee on Business, Labor, and Economic Affairs report that House was 115, 573, 636, 682, and 751 be concurred in, and that House Bill 358 be concurred as amended, Senator Jason Small, Chair. Mr. President, we are Committee on Energy and Telecommunications report that House Bill 729 be concurred in, and that House Joint Resolution 6 be concurred in as amended, Senator Walt Sales, Chair. Mr. President, we are Committee on Fish and Game report that House Bill 438 be concurred in, and that House Bill 440 be concurred in as amended, Senator Steve Heinbaugh, Chair. Mr. President, we are Committee on Highways and Transportation report that House Bills 327, 331, 519 be concurred in, and that House Bills 333, 365, 439, 470, and 491 be concurred in as amended, Senator Teresa Manzella, Chair. Mr. President, we are Committee on Judiciary report that House Bill 659 be concurred in, and that House Bills 575, 625, and 676 be concurred in as amended, Senator Keith Regeer, Chair. Mr. President, we are Committee on Legislative Administration report that House Bills 493 and 739 be concurred in, that House Bill 140 be concurred in as amended, Senator Mike Lang, Chair. Mr. President, we are Committee on Taxation report that House Bills 189, 225, 601, and 823 be concurred in, and that House Bill 225 be concurred in as amended, Senator Greg Hertz, Chair. That is all, Mr. President.
That objection, the committee reports are adopted. That objection will go to order business number five, messages from the other House.
Mr. President, I am directed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate the following actions. The following House bills were on this day, read three several times and passed, highlighted, and agreed to, and are here transmitted to the Senate for concurrence. Three pages, signed. That is all, Mr. President. Signed, Carolyn Cheetah, Chief Clerk of the House. That is all, Mr. President.
That objection will go to order business number six, first reading and commitment of bills.
Mr. President, many, many bills have been introduced and read, and many, many more have been referred to committee. That is all, Mr. President.
Thank you, Secretary. Senator Hertz.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to do a little basketball announcement here. So on the raffle for Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Jack Roscoe Transportation Fundraiser, do not return your raffle pages to me. If you check your box and decide whether you want to do 300 or 100, take them into Hannah. In the office where you go drop your bills off in the Deborah. Hannah sits right there at the front desk. She will collect your raffle ticket and your money. Thank you.
Senator O'Brien.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to be off the record and out of the journal for the purpose of two announcements, please.
Senator O'Brien.
Thank you. First of all, tomorrow, for those of you interested in going on the trip to Ireland, we'll have a meeting at noon in room 472 at noon. Might start at 12:05. But love to, if you're interested, there's information in your inbox. I'm sure your inboxes are very full, but there's little information about itinerary and dates and costs. Secondly, tomorrow is, this week is the week of the young child, and tomorrow in the rotunda from about 9 o'clock until I think 1 or 2 in the afternoon, there'll be some time to read stories to children and small children there to help keep our spirits high. And President, I'd like to be on the record and in the journal for the purpose, for a personal privilege.
Senator.
Now I come to you as certainly as a senator, but also as a scared mom. Some of you may have heard that Missoula County, or a large school district, I beg your pardon, in my district is on lockdown. There's some threats to the school, and the police are on it. And I would just like to ask. I would like to ask if we could all stand for a moment of silence or prayer to send good thoughts to those people.
Senator.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Our thoughts and prayers are with those students, and hopefully that ends up not being a case that anybody gets hurt. So that objection will go to order business number 8, third reading of bills.
Mr. President, House Bill 72, introduced by Marshall, a bill for an act entitled Revised Alcohol Licenses Related to Restaurant Beer and Wine Licenses.
House Bill 72 hasn't been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Senator Dunwell. Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 43 have voted yes, 7 have voted no.
43 senators haven't voted yes, 7 haven't voted no. House Bill 72 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 154, introduced by TUS, a bill for an act entitled Remove Licensure Requirement for Medication Aids.
House Bill 154 have been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor signify by voting yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes.
50 members haven't voted yes. House Bill 154 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 231, introduced by Lear, bill for an act entitled Eliminate Certification Standards and Practices Advisory Council.
House Bill 231 have been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 34 have voted yes, 16 have voted no.
34 haven't voted yes, 16 haven't voted no. House Bill 231 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 298, introduced by Bertolio, bill for an act entitled Revised Boards of Veterans Affairs Laws.
House Bill 298 hasn't been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor signify by voting yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 36 have voted yes, 14 have voted no.
36 haven't voted yes, 14 haven't voted no. House Bill 298 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 335, introduced by Beattie, a bill for an act entitled General Revised Election Laws Related to Absentee Ballot List Procedures.
House Bill 335 haven't been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor signify by voting yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes.
50 members haven't voted yes. House Bill 335 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 371, introduced by Walsh, a bill for an act entitled Allow State Chartered Banks to Own Employee Housing.
House Bill 371 have been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor signify by voting yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 34 have voted yes, 16 have voted no.
34 haven't voted yes, 16 haven't voted no. House Bill 371 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 379, introduced by Welch, a bill for an act entitled Revised Laws Related to Pharmacy Benefit Managers.
House Bill 379 haven't been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor will signify by voting yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 47 have voted yes, 3 have voted no.
47 haven't voted yes, 3 haven't voted no. House Bill 379 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 384 introduced by Hinkle, a bill for an act entitled Allow Hard Copy Campaign Finance Reports in Certain Circumstances.
House Bill 384 have been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor signify by voting yes. Those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes.
50 members haven't voted yes. House Bill 384 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 385, introduced by Carlson, a bill for an act entitled Require Evidence Discovery in CPS Cases.
House Bill 385 have been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor signify by voting yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 41 have voted yes. 9 have voted no.
41 haven't voted yes, 9 haven't voted no. House Bill 385 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 387 introduced by Carlson, a bill for an act entitled General Revised Constituent Accounts.
House Bill 387 have been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor signify by voting yes. Those opposed vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes.
50 members haven't voted yes. House Bill 387 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 427, introduced by Kearns, a bill for an act entitled Revised Military Affairs Laws Regarding Workers' Compensation.
House Bill 427 has been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor signify by voting yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 42 have voted yes. 8 have voted no.
42 haven't voted yes. 8 haven't voted no. House Bill 427 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 550, introduced by Knutson, a bill for an act entitled Revised Gambling Laws Related to the Sale of Video Gambling Machines.
House Bill 550 haven't been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor of the motion signify by voting yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 45 have voted yes. 5 have voted no.
45 haven't voted yes. 5 haven't voted no. House Bill 550 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 557, introduced by Carlson, a bill for an act entitled Clarify Use of Hard Account Funds for Behavioral Health Crisis Services.
House Bill 557 haven't been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor of the motion signify by voting yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes.
50 members haven't voted yes. Senate Bill 557 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 598, introduced by Hellegard, bill for an act entitled Prohibit Use of Rank Choice Voting Methods.
House Bill 598 haven't been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor signify by voting yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Senator Usher. Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 26 have voted yes. 23 have voted no.
27 haven't voted yes. 23 haven't voted no. House Bill 598 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 622, introduced by Logie, the bill for an act entitled Provide for Non-Resident Titling.
House Bill 622 have been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor signify by voting yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 48 have voted yes, 2 have voted no.
48 haven't voted yes, 2 haven't voted no. House Bill 622 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 661, introduced by Seekins Crow, a bill for an act entitled Allowing Court to Consider Dangerous Lethality Assessment.
House Bill 661 have been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor signify by voting yes. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes.
50 members haven't voted yes. House Bill 661 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 695, introduced by Mercer, a bill for an act entitled Revised TRO Standard for Suits Against the State and Subdivisions of Government.
House Bill 695 haven't been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor signify by voting yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Senator Wellborn. Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 34 have voted yes, 16 have voted no.
34 haven't voted yes, 16 haven't voted no. House Bill 695 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 764, introduced by Logie, a bill for an act entitled Revise Certain License Plate Fees.
House Bill 764 haven't been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor signify by voting yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 45 have voted yes, 5 have voted no.
45 haven't voted yes, 5 haven't voted no. House Bill 764 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 797, introduced by Windy Boy, a bill for 1910 to require agency reporting on financial assistance to tribes.
House Bill 797 have been read through three several times. The question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor signify by voting yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes.
50 members haven't voted yes. House Bill 797 has passed the Senate.
That is all, Mr. President.
That objection will go to order business number 7. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. President, I move the Senate resolve itself in the Committee of the Whole for the consideration of business on second reading.
You've heard the motion of Senator Fitzpatrick. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Will Senator Lang please take the chair?
Members of the Senate, please be in order.
Mr. Chairman.
Oh, sorry, Mr. Majority Leader.
That's all right. Mr. Chairman, I move to pass consideration on House Bill 614 for the day.
Yes.
And then, Mr. Chairman, I also move to pass consideration of House Bill 758 for the day.
Without objection, so moved. So ordered. Members of the Senate.
Yeah, they...
Please be in order, members. You have before you for your consideration House Bill 664. The clerk will read title of the bill and the history of the bill.
House Bill 664, introduced by Gunnarsson, a bill for an act entitled an act directing the Motor Vehicle Division of the Department of Justice to study the feasibility of driver's license renewal kiosks, establishing a reporting requirement, and directing the division to report the Transportation Intern Committee.
Are there any corrections to the history and the title of this bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, now before you for your consideration, House Bill 664. What is your pleasure, Senator Treves?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. I move that when this committee does report after having had under consideration House Bill 664, that it recommends the same be concurred in.
Senator Treves.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. Pretty easy bill here. It's short, simple, sweet. New section, Section 1, License Renewal Kiosk, just says the Motor Vehicle Division of the Department of Justice shall study the feasibility of the use of driver's license renewal kiosks in Montana and shall report prior to September 2024 to the Transportation Interim Committee created in 55233 regarding any statutory, fiscal, or other impediments to implementing the use of driver license renewal kiosks. So if you want to be able to renew your license without standing in a line, this might be the best way to do it if it's feasible, and that's what this studies. Thanks.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion on this motion? Senator Friedle.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you look down there, there was a 7-5 vote out of the Highway and Transportation. The reason why there was a 7-5 vote is because, if you guys are familiar with it, we just went to the new system called CARS, which allows people to do their licensing and things like that online and through the system. This was conversation happened in our committee where kiosks were a thing, but almost seems like the technology we're dealing with right now actually kind of supersedes this particular type of technology. I guess the question I'd have is, how many of you use a online video system to watch movies, or how many of you go down to your local gas station to pick up one from one of the red boxes that have movies in them? I would give you guys how you feel about that, but it is a study bill, so...
Further discussion? Seeing none, Senator Treves, you wish to close? Senator Treves has closed. Question now arises under the motion of Senator Treves that when his committee does write and report after he had under consideration House Bill 664 that it recommend the same be concurred in. Any in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed vote no. Any member not voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 31 senators vote aye and 19 senators vote nay.
With 31 senators voting aye and 19 voting no, Senate Bill or House Bill 664 has been concurred in. Members of the Senate, you have before you, for your consideration, House Bill 675. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
House Bill 675, introduced by Brewster, a bill for an act entitled an act authorizing county water and or sewer district to pursue consolidation with a municipality when more than 60% of the district's customers reside within the municipality city limits and the district purchases its water from the municipality, providing a requirement for the consolidation plan and providing for the distinction, consideration of, and outcomes for a district territory within city limits and outside of city limits.
Are there any corrections to the history and the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Clerk will read the sections.
Section 1 through 2.
Members of this committee, you now before you House Bill 675. What is your pleasure, Senator Ferdell?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise report after having consideration House Bill 675, the recommend be concurred in.
Senator Ferdell.
Mr. Chair, this is a pretty simple bill. What this will do is this will give an avenue between water districts and municipalities to have a conversation to mill together. All this, that's all it does. It just allows for the conversation to happen because right now they can't have that conversation unless a lot of things happen. So all this bill does is, hey, you guys want to merge? This is the pathway. I'd ask for a green. Thank you.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Senator Sayles.
Thank you. Does the sponsor or the carrier, is he willing to visit on this a little bit?
Senator Ferdell.
I have no problem visiting on it.
Go ahead, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And carrier, I just in discussion, I'm a little worried. Is this going to be merging the actual pipes or just the districts? Because if it's all in one pipe, I'm a little hesitant.
Mr. Chair. Senator, this will allow for all pipes of the water district to be merged into all pipes with the city if they decide they want to merge together. So this allows for the conversation.
He's talking about the water and sewer pipes.
Oh, Jesus, no. I would recommend wholeheartedly not to merge those two pipes together because I think your water would be very distasteful. Thank you, good senator to my left, who are kind of pointing that joke out.
Thank you for that clarification.
Further discussion? Senator Ferdell, you wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sometimes things do go over my head and hit me in the back of them, thanks to a good seatmate. Thank you. Go green.
The question now arises, the motion of Senator Ferdell, that when this committee does write and report after having under consideration House Bill 675, it recommend the same be concurred in. Many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye.
With 50 senators voting aye and 0 voting no, House Bill 675 has been concurred in. Members of the Senate, please be in order. Before you, you have House Bill 703. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
House Bill 703, introduced by Logie and others, a bill for an act entitled an act generally revising laws related to emotional support animals, allowing a landlord to request certain supporting information related to a tenant's need for an emotional support animal, requiring a licensed health care practitioner to provide supplemental information that identifies the emotional need the animal supports, prohibiting a landlord from requiring information related to a person's diagnosis or severity of disability, and providing that a tenant is liable for damages or injury done to property or other persons by an emotional support animal.
Are there corrections to the history and the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Section 1 through 3.
Members of the committee, are now before you for your consideration, House Bill 703. What is your pleasure, Senator Kribas?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 703, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Kribas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. This is a bill related to emotional service or support animals. And it just kind of balances and clarifies the rights that a landlord and a tenant has in regard to this area. Emotional support animals are different than service animals. Service animals are protected under federal law, but sometimes this area is kind of conflated, and some people think they have, you know, a service animal when they have an emotional support animal, and they're essentially have what is a pet. under landlord-tenant law, unless we clarify what is an ESA and what is not here. So there's some similarities in framework as ADA law on service animals that is then incorporated into this, such as allowing a landlord to request certain supporting information related to a tenant's need for an emotional support animal, requiring a licensed healthcare practitioner to provide supplemental information that identifies the emotional need the animal supports, and then prohibiting a landlord from requiring information that is related to a person's diagnosis or severity of disability. And then a little bit other than that, but that's kind of the main idea here in the new sections. The documentation isn't going to be something that reveals to a landlord what a person's disability is, similar to the service animal law. You can't ask what a person's disability is, but you can ask what service the animal provides for the person or the tenant in this case. There is some liability on the tenant if they, you know, if they're not honest about this, but it says the tenant's liable for damages or injury done to the property or other persons by an emotional support animal. Of course, when you have a service animal, not support animal, but service animal, a landlord can ask if they're vaccinated. A landlord can ask, make sure that they're safe for other people in a property so they're not aggressive. So again, this is a law that creates the framework for emotional support animals in the landlord-tenant sphere of law, similar to what is covered for service animals under ADA. So if you need some clarification, I can try and help do that. So we'll talk about it, and we'll see where this goes. Thanks.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Senator Mandeville.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do like this bill. I think there's enough sideboards in this. And this is kind of personal because I do have a son that has some issues and does have an emotional support animal. It's a python, so it's not something that's going to have vaccinations. But we do have a ball python named Monty, who is definitely an emotional support animal. But like I said, I do think there's enough sideboards in here, so I'm comfortable with the bill.
Senator Regeer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As carrier of the bill,
Senator Kribas?
Yep.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, Senator, I don't know whether you can answer this question. There are some people that have severe allergies to pets, and can a landlord opt out of this to keep their property so that they could rent to people that have severe allergies, or do they have to rent to these emotional and service animals owners?
Excellent question, Mr. Chair, Senator. I'm not sure that this directly addresses that. I'm pretty sure I heard something about the airlines addressing that when it comes to service animals versus emotional support animals versus some of the issues that ESAs are causing on airlines. So I don't know. This doesn't necessarily directly address that as far as I know when it comes to allergies and affecting other tenants.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Friedel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would the sponsor yield to a question?
I do.
Senator Kribas. Senator Friedel.
Mr. Chair, Senator, does this bill only allow emotional support animals to be animals only? The question would be is could somebody assume to be like, say, a furry or something? And be a support animal. That way someone can be added into their lease without having to pay be on the lease.
Mr. Chair, Senator, I think that would be for a court to decide, but I am pretty sure that would be prohibited.
Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, the question now arises, Senator Kribas. When this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 703, you recommend the same be concurred in. Any are in favor of the motion, please vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 36 senators vote aye and 14 senators vote nay.
With 36 senators voting aye and 14 voted no, House Bill 703 has been concurred in. Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you now before you for your consideration. House Bill 578. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
House Bill 578, introduced by Brockman, a bill for an act entitled an act revising alcohol laws to allow a licensee with a catering endorsement to sell liquor in original packaging for off-premises consumption during a liquor manufacturing industry-specific event sponsored by a licensed distiller, providing up to six special events a year, and amending section.
Are there any corrections to the history and the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Section 1.
Members, you now have... Members of the committee, now before you, House Bill 578, what is your pleasure? Senator Vermeer.
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 578, that I recommend the same be concurred in, Mr. Chair.
Senator Vermeer.
House Bill 578 revises alcohol laws related to special permits. It allows for packaged alcohol products to be sold for off-site consumption at an industry event, and allows for six events per year. These events are industry specific, and they're kind of like trade shows. It's almost like the wine testing we have in the rotunda. A lot of these products that they want to showcase are made in such a small quantity that they don't make enough to send through the state liquor warehouse. So it has to go through a bar or retail establishment. So a bar or retail establishment would never see them. I will sit for questions.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Senator, do you wish to close? Senator has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Vermeer that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 578, that I recommend the same be concurred in. Many are in favor of the motion. Please vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 44 senators vote aye and 6 senators vote nay.
With 44 senators voting aye and 6 voting no, House Bill 578 has been concurred in. Members of the Senate, please be in order. Order. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 615. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
House Bill 615, introduced by Fitzgerald and others, a bill for an act entitled an act revising the requirements for professional liability insurance coverage for real estate broker and salesperson licensees, revising deductible requirements, amending section, and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Section 1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you have before you House Bill 615. What is your pleasure, Senator Nolan?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill number 615 recommends the same be concurred in, Mr. Chair.
Senator Nolan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, House Bill 615 updates the statute that requires real estate brokers and salespersons to maintain professional liability insurance coverage. It allows policy issues issued to a real estate brokerage to have a higher deductible, provided the brokerage proves it has the financial capability to pay the higher deductible. This allows brokerages that can afford to pay a higher deductible to obtain stronger coverage for lower limits. It's a good bill. Thank you.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a discussion on the motion? Seeing none, the Senator wish to close? The Senator has closed. Question now arises on the motion of Senator Nolan, and when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 615, the recommendation be concurred in. If any are in favor of the motion, please vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye.
50 senators voting aye and 0 voting no. House Bill 615 has been concurred in.
Prepare the way of the Lord.
Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you have now before you for your consideration House Bill 245, The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
House Bill 245, introduced by Vinton and others, a bill for an act entitled an act revising laws related to the trades education and training tax credit, expanding the list of qualifying trades for the trades education and training tax credit, providing the Department of Revenue may further expand the list through its existing rulemaking authority, providing legislative intent, extending the termination date 2 years, amending sections, and providing an immediate effective date and a retroactive applicability date.
Are there any corrections to the history in the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
1 through 4.
Members of the committee, you have now before you House Bill 245. What is your pleasure, Senator Fuller?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 245, that I recommend the same be concurred in, Mr. Chair.
Senator Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 245. Montana is facing a growing shortage of skilled trade workers. The 2020-21 legislature provided an incentive for employers to invest in their employees upskilling through the Montana Trades Education and Training Tax Credit, or the MTEC. However, since the 21 session, we have seen growing demand from additional trades. House Bill 245 expands the list of eligible trade professions that you can read later in the bill that can take advantage of the tax credit, allowing even more employers to receive an incentive in their employees and their industries. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I urge a due pass.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Senator Cuff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would the carrier yield to a question?
Senator Fuller.
I will.
Senator Cuff.
Senator Fuller, on does this mean specifically to a trade school, or is this on-the-job training? If a person is in a apprenticeship program, does that mean that his wage while he's in the apprenticeship program would not be taxed, Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Chair, Senator, the student does not need to be enrolled in a trade school and can be an employee, and the employer, if he wishes to, in the additional jobs listed on page 3 and 4 of the, and even page 2 of the bill, allows the employer to help retrain or upskill the employee and receive a tax credit for that.
Follow up, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, Senator Fuller, I ran mills and other operations where folks moved from job to job, and there was a certain period of training required as they moved from job to job. Would an employer have to keep track of those and somehow account for those in a tax process, or give the employee a statement? How would you do that? I'm a little bit concerned. I'm thinking back. If I was running a mill, how would I keep track of that? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chair, Senator, if the employer wishes to upgrade and the job is a promotion and requires a greater skill training, if the employer wishes to obtain the tax credit, he will need to document. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further discussion? Senator, would you like to close? Senator has closed. The question now arises of the motion of Senator Fuller that when his committee does rise and report, having under consideration House Bill 245, I recommend the same be concurred in. Those in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 42 senators vote aye and 8 senators vote nay.
With 42 senators voting aye and 8 voting no, House Bill 245 has been concurred in.
Yes.
Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 47. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 47, introduced by Dooling by request of the Department of Administration, a bill for an act entitled an act generally revising the Montana Information Technology Act, revising terminology, providing the Department of Administration sole authority to terminate an agency's information technology resource, and requiring the use of an alternative information technology resource, and amending sections.
Are there any corrections to the history and the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 30.
Members of the committee, you have now before you House Bill 47. What is your pleasure, Senator Zonikoff?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 47, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Zonikoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the body. House Bill 47 modernizes the terminology of the Montana Information Technology Act to reflect changes in technology and strategy, including moving solutions to commercial off-the-shelf applications hosted in the cloud whenever possible. While it is implied that all computerized work, no matter hosted by the state or in the cloud, is within the purview of the state chief information officer and the state ITSD, the new language makes it clear that no matter where the state data is stored, it is still subject to state IT policies, framework, controls, standards, procedures, and guidelines. Additionally, at the state auditor's request, the state auditor was added to the state agencies exempted from MITA. The Senate made three amendments to this bill, one that clearly specified the policy of the state that commercial off-the-shelf information technology resources be used whenever feasible. Another one requires the department to enforce policies in a different set of code or set some of the code. And last, it removed the proposed language to make the rulemaking authority permissive instead of mandatory. This now leaves the rulemaking authority the same as it is in statute now. With that, I hope you pass this. Thanks.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none. Senator, would you care to close? Senator Zonikoff has closed. The question now rises of the motion of Senator Zonikoff that when his committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill or House Bill 47, that it recommend the same be concurred in. If you're in favor of the motion, please vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye.
With 50 senators voting aye and 0 voting no, House Bill 47 has been concurred in. Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 284. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
House Bill 284, introduced by Schillinger, a bill for an act entitled an act revising the review and approval of electricity supply resources, amending sections, and providing an immediate effective date.
Is there any corrections to the history and the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 3.
Members of the committee, you have now before you House Bill 284. What is your pleasure, Senator Small?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 284, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Small.
Mr. Chair, House Bill 284 is another good Montana energy independence bill. It's all about pre-approval. This bill restores the public utility's ability to submit a new energy resource to the Montana Public Service Commission for approval or denial before investing hundreds of millions of dollars into a new power plant to serve customers. HB 284 has been on the books since 2007, Our state's largest utility used it to acquire nearly every generation resource in its portfolio. This bill is before you because a district judge determines Montana's review and approval statute was unconstitutional because it only applied to one utility. HB 284 corrects the flaw in the law by expanding the resource approval statute to include all utilities regulated by the Montana Public Service Commission. We need this law back on the books to build Montana-based energy and reduce our dependence on other states for our energy needs. This bill should be an easy green light. Thank you.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Senator Beard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. I'd like to speak to the bill. Members, if you're not concerned about our state's energy position, you ought to be. We're reliant on the market to buy power when it's both more expensive and least likely to be available. Senate Bill 284 gets us back to a place where our public utility providers can invest in Montana-made energy again. Vote green.
Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to explain why I'm a no vote on this. Pre-approval, which we currently don't have, it was thrown out in a court action, and this puts it back in. But pre-approval shifts the risk of costs from new energy generation projects from utility investors, the stockholders, to captive customers, those who rely on the utilities for their utilities. And those are many of our constituents. This pre-approval incentivizes overspending on new generation projects. Once the PSC pre-approves a project, because of Montana statutes, it cannot review and adjust costs, even if customers are overpaying for a resource. North Dakota allows pre-approval, but it has more sideboards for customer protection and dialing back expenditures that don't materialize. I urge a no vote.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, does Senator wish to close?
Yeah, I'd like to say just a couple more words. Thank you, Mr. President, members of the body. So the reason this bill is important is because utilities need regulatory approval to access affordable financing. So that helps keep the cost of the projects down. Now, these projects that would be up for pre-approval, basically, the PSC is going to look at them and establish whether they're high or not. So there's not an adjustment after the fact. But what this does do is help us develop more energy. And it's across the board. It's not just, you know, power plants or whatever. It could be any other form of electrical power. It lets them basically establish financing so they know what the project's actually going to cost, and then deliver that project at the cost that was more or less agreed upon to. So it's a good bill. It needs a green light.
The question now arises of the motion of Senator Small that when this committee does rise and report, having under consideration House Bill 284, they recommend the same be concurred in. Any in favor of the motion, vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has everybody voted? Anybody wish to change their vote? Clerk, record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 43 senators vote aye and 7 senators vote nay.
With 43 senators voting aye and 7 voting no, House Bill 284 has been concurred in. Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 582. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
House Bill 582, introduced by Winnie Boy and others, a bill for an act entitled an act extending the termination date for the Community Health Aid Program, amending section and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 3.
Members of the committee, I have now before you House Bill 582. What is your pleasure, Senator Weber?
Mr. Chair, I move that when the committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 582, that it recommend the same be concurred in, Mr. Chair.
Senator Weber.
Committee, this is a real simple bill. It just extends a termination date for the Community Health Aid Program to September 30, 2025. The reasoning for this was that the CHAP program is funded under the Indian Health Service budget, which was not passed. It's still waiting for passage, and so we just needed to extend the termination date for this program to allow the funds to come in. It has no cost to the state.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, does the senator wish to close? Senator has closed. The question now arises of the motion of Senator Weber. that when this committee does write a report having under consideration House Bill 582, we recommend be concurred in. Any in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye.
With 50 senators voting aye and zero voting no, House Bill 582 has been concurred in. Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 610. The clerk will read the title and the history of the bill.
House Bill 610, introduced by Gist and others, a bill for an act entitled an act allowing emergency care providers to provide patient care in a health care facility, providing definition, revising definitions, amending sections, and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 7.
Members of the committee, you have now before your House Bill 610. What is your pleasure, Senator Lentz?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration House Bill 610, it recommend the same be concurred in, Senator, Mr. Chair.
Senator Lentz.
So, members of the committee of the whole, House Bill 610 simply allows emergency services providers to operate fully within the scope of their care. So emergency care provider is listed on page 3 already in the law, line 21, including but not limited to a first responder, an EMT, a paramedic, or such as that. And so I was intrigued by the sponsor of the bill because I thought this was already going on. But if you work as an EMT for the hospital, you actually are operating under the parameters they're giving you to operate under. This would allow them to operate in the full scope that they know. Every EMT knows what they can and can't do. Every paramedic knows the range that they can operate in. And this would allow all of these emergency care providers to operate within that. Mr. Chair.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, the senator wish to close? The senator has closed. The question now arises the motion of Senator Lentz that when his committee does write and report after having it under consideration House Bill 610, recommend the same be concurred in. If any are in favor of the motion, please vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk, record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 49 senators vote aye and one senator votes nay.
With 49 senators voting aye and one voting no, House Bill 610 has been concurred in.
That objection will go to order business number 11, special orders of the day. Members, we have a proclamation that was read across in Washington, D.C., and Congressman Rosendale is going to come in and present it. And it was actually for two of our people we're really close to here, Jack Roscoe and Whit Whitman. So will the Sergeant-at-Arms please escort them in?
Welcome. Great to see everybody again. And I promise I won't be giving a speech for me this time. This is going to be about these youths that we have here before us. President Ellsworth, thank you so much for bringing me out to the floor. This is about these youths, though, and they do deserve recognition. You guys both have overcome some serious challenges, obstacles, and you have been an inspiration, not just to the pages and not just to the people and the staffers that are working around here and all the senators that are in this room, but to people in this building and outside of this building because of the work that you've done. Okay? You really have been. So I want to take the time. We've entered them into the congressional record. So this record means that it is in U.S. history, okay, on the books of Congress. You will be able to look at this. Your grandchildren will be able to look in this in 30 years, 40 years, and see your name entered into the congressional record. And I want to take the time, if the president would allow, to read exactly what each one of these says.
Congressman, please.
That's a familiar sound. Okay, we're going to start off with wit. As Mr. Rosendale of Montana, I am privileged to honor an outstanding public servant and brilliant young man who refuses to let his disability limit his potential. Wit Williams is a Helena, Montana native whose parents received the difficult news that their son was born deaf and would likely finish high school reading at the fourth grade level. That's what they were told. Unwilling to accept the limitations of his condition, Whit worked tirelessly with his mother, Wendy, to ensure that he kept up with his hearing peers. Whit excelled as a student athlete while attending Helena High, competing on the varsity tennis team and the Great Divide ski team, where he placed in the slalom at the Winter Deaf Olympics. Whit further distinguished himself in extracurriculars by representing his school at the Montana Behavior Initiative Leadership Conference. Whit Williams defied the odds that often befall those who are hearing impaired and graduated from Montana State University last spring with a degree in exercise science and kinesiology. I'm pretty proud of pronouncing that. His success is all the more impressive considering that he accomplished all this while maintaining a grade point average of 3.75 and graduating with high honors. Whit currently works for the Montana State Legislature as a majority aide. Like any good Montana man, he also has interests outside the legislature and works as a ski racing coach at Great Divide Ski Area and serves as the varsity tennis coach for Helena High School. I want to commend Whit for his dedicated work in the legislature and in his local community. Whit Williams is an example for all Montanans to follow, and it is my privilege to acknowledge his contributions in the United States House of Representatives. And Jack, as Mr. Rosendale from Montana, it is my privilege to recognize the work of an outstanding young man whose service in the Montana legislature is an example of the extraordinary impact those with physical disabilities can have on their community. Jack Roscoe is an aide to the Montana legislature and serves as a clerk for the Senate Energy and Telecommunications Committee. During the 2021 legislative session, Jack was on a snowboarding trip at Great Divide Ski Area near Helena, where he suffered a debilitating accident that crushed his C5 vertebrae and left him paralyzed from the neck down. After an extensive recovery at the University of Utah Medical Center, Jack returned to the Senate as an aide in the 68th legislative session and continues to serve with distinction to this day. Jack's courageous return to the work is a poignant reminder of the strength of Montana's young men and women. I'm humbled to see such a dedicated young man serving his state despite his injuries, and I am proud to recognize him in the United States House of Representatives.
I believe the sergeant in arms is responsible for that.
See, I haven't been able to set snares for 2 years, so I just tried one out, and I got a big bear, it looks like. Mr. President, I would yield back my time. Thank you very much.
Thank you
for having me in here today, everybody. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Congressman, and to two of our great employees that work very hard. Thank you both for, I think, giving all of us inspiration and hopefully courage enough for the whole state of Montana to rise to the level that you have. So God bless you. The Sergeant at Arms, escort him out, please. Well, I got to say, this is the most senators I've seen cry. And not because we didn't have time to take a break. That objection will go to order business number 7. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. President, I move the Senate resolve itself to the Committee of the Whole for the consideration of business second reading.
You've heard the motion of the Majority Leader. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senator Lang.
Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you have now before you for your consideration House Bill 655. Clerk, read the title and history of the bill.
House Bill 655, introduced by Kay Zolnikoff and others, a bill for an act entitled an act requiring Medicaid coverage of certain home births attended by a midwife, providing rulemaking authority, amending sections, and providing an effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
1 through 4.
Member of this committee, you have now before you House Bill 655. What is your pleasure, Senator Gross?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when the committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 655, it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Gross.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members. House Bill 655 allows Medicaid reimbursement for low-risk at-home births attended by licensed midwives. Home births are becoming more and more popular these days. Personally, I really appreciate this. I personally think that there's been an over-medicalization of childbirth over the years. For others, they're looking at cost. At-home birth, giving birth at home can be much less cost prohibitive. Some choose to do it for comfort, and some feel it is simply safer. In Montana, we have two types of licensed midwives, direct entry midwives and nurse midwives. They are governed by the Board of Alternative Healthcare and the Board of Nursing in that order. So this bill will allow those boards to establish and adopt rules that describe the circumstances which would constitute low-risk at-home births. And so this bill ensures that high-risk births are will not be reimbursed by Medicaid, so like breech or twins, anyone with a high-risk pregnancy with a risk for adverse birth outcomes may not, under this bill, be able to give birth at home and receive Medicaid reimbursement. This bill makes fiscal sense because women who already utilize Medicaid through their pregnancy and through childbirth will incur far higher costs than if they choose to do a traditional at-home birth. So this bill has passed unanimously through the House. It passed unanimously through the Senate Public Health and Welfare and Safety Committee. It's a really great bill, and I hope we can all support it today. Thank you.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a discussion on the motion? Senator Regeer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Does the carrier yield?
Senator Gross, you yield?
I do.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, I think you said the department would establish rules for what low risk is. No?
No. Mr. Chair, Senator Regeer, the two boards that oversee and license the two types of midwives will establish and adopt rules. So those for direct entry midwives, that would be the Board of Alternative Healthcare. Okay. For nurse midwives, that would be the Board of Nursing.
Does Senator yield to another question?
Senator Gross.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, so prenatal care is a requirement to qualify?
Mr. Chair, Senator Regeer, I don't have that answer in front of me right now. Mr. Chair, if there is another member in the body who can speak to that, I would appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator McGilvery.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to rise in strong support of this bill. I think maybe I've shared with this body before, certainly I did in committee, that my daughter had midwives attend both of her. She had one birth at home that a midwife attended. She had a midwife providing prenatal care, but the second baby was breech. And interestingly, that midwife said this baby, you know, a few weeks ago was the right side, his head was down, they flipped around. The midwife said, he's breached now, you need to go to the hospital. When she went to the hospital, the nurse at the hospital said, this baby's not breached. And long story short, the baby was breached. So the midwife was way ahead of the game. She had excellent care. And as the senator, good senator said in the front row, the midwife birth at home was a fraction of the cost of a hospital birth. And in committee, we talked about this. In Europe, most of the babies are born at home. So the United States is way behind other countries that are seeing most of their babies born at home, safe, effective, way less expensive. So thinking about Medicaid paying for births, it's way less expensive for our Medicaid to be covering women to have home births than it would be at hospitals. So this is a no-brainer green light. I'd appreciate a green light on it. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Senator Wish closed.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the body. This bill was amended in the House, and I think that it was a good amendment. On page 8, you'll see stricken language regarding the department's adoption of rules, and that is around medical necessity and Medicaid reimbursement. So I don't have any trepidation or fear that this would in any way coerce a woman one way or another to give birth at home or in the hospital. That is up to the individual to decide for themselves. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
The question now arises the motion of Senator Gross that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 655 and recommend the same be concurred in. Any are in favor of the motion, please vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye.
Thank you. With 50 senators voting aye and 0 voting no, House Bill 655 has been concurred in. Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 684. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
House Bill 684, introduced by Hinkle and others, a bill for an act entitled an act prohibiting use of vaccination status in certain administrative and legal proceedings related to children and incapacitated adults and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
1-7.
Members of the committee, you have now before your House Bill 684. What is your pleasure, Senator McGilvery?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 684, that I recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator McGilvery.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a pretty straightforward bill as well. All 684 does is prohibit vaccination status from being used as evidence in certain child custody cases, as well as incapacitated adults. You know, oftentimes vaccination status is a very sensitive issue for parents, and simply put, it can become very politicized, and the concern is here is that if it's interjected into a proceeding on a custody dispute, it can create bias, and so we would just appreciate, as well as the sponsor of this bill and myself, a green light on this bill to keep these kind of issues out of court. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Senator Gross.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm opposing this bill today, and I tried to think about the reasons for opposing this bill in a couple of ways. Immediately, what came to my mind was like an immune-compromised child who the court may determine should be with a parent who is vaccinated. That you know, that would be one concern of mine. But then I also tried to, in my mind, look at it from the flip side. And I'm thinking of a situation where a family was very much opposed to vaccinating their children for a religious reason, maybe philosophical, maybe a health reason. This bill could prohibit the court from taking that into account and place the child with a so the bill does touch family law and foster care, so that the court could place a child with a foster family who wished to vaccinate someone else's child against the parent's wish. So I think this is one of those bills where there might be an unintended consequence, and I just tried to wrap my mind around both sides of that. So, Mr. Chair, I recommend a no vote. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Senator McGivern, wish to close?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, I think this should be left out of courts. It can be very sensitive, but either way, I think both parents have the best interest of the child's health in mind, and I would just encourage a green light.
The question now rises to the motion of Senator McGivern that when his committee has read and report, after having under consideration House Bill 684, that recommends the same be concurred in. Any in favor of the motion, please vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change it or vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 34 senators vote aye and 16 senators vote nay.
With 34 senators voting aye and 16 voting no, House Bill 684 has been concurred in. Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 400. The clerk will read the title and history of the bill.
House Bill 400, introduced by Mercer, a bill for an act entitled an act eliminating the option to provide oral entity reports to the legislature instead of written entity reports and amending sections.
Are there corrections to the history of the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
1-3.
Members of the committee, you have now before you House Bill 400. What is your pleasure, Senator Cuff?
Thank you, Madam Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill number 400, that the committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 400, that it recommend the same be concurred in. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cuff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 400 is basically is intended to help us do our job and to others find information as well. It came about through some reports that were required or being searched for by one of the interim committees. And these were reports that had been requested. And the reports evidently were put together, posted online someplace. But when they went to look at them, they could not find them. And sometime later, they could not find them. And after considerable searching, one of the members that was looking for them, the representative who brought the bill, said, we should get these reports in writing, and they should be available where we can get our hands on them and make sure that the information was actually there. So, Mr. Chairman, that's simple lines. That's what it's all about. It's quite a few pages. But that is what House Bill 400 is. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, does the Senator wish to close? The Senator has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Cuff that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 400, it recommends the same be concurred in. If many are in favor of the motion, please vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? The clerk will record the vote. Senator Weber, there we go.
Mr. Chairman, 48 senators vote aye and 2 senators vote nay.
With 48 senators voting aye and 2 voting no, House Bill 400 has been concurred in. Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 63. The clerk will read the title and the history of the bill.
House Bill 63, introduced by Kearns by request of the Department of Military Affairs, a bill for an act entitled an act to generally revise civil and criminal liability laws related to members of the armed forces and the Montana National Guard, limiting civil liability for emergency care rendered at the scene by members of the National Guard, providing an affirmative defense in criminal actions of justifiable use of force in defense of military equipment and information, and amending section.
Are there corrections to the history and the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Section 1 through 3.
Members of the committee, you have now before your House Bill 63. What is your pleasure, Senator Fitzpatrick?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had in consideration House Bill 63, recommends the same be concurred.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you'll remember, we've seen this bill before. It came to the floor, and then it failed. We revived it and sent it down to State Administration for an amendment. Let me just walk through the bill. So on the first page in Section 1, we're adding in members of the Army National Guard and Air National Guard acting in their official capacity. So what this section applies to is the situation where if somebody's out on duty and they come across like a car accident and they render aid, they cannot be held liable in those circumstances. The second part is, I believe, what caused the consternation here on the floor. That's Section 2. What we did in committee was add an amendment in here that says if you're going to use force to defend military equipment, you need to be on official duty. The force has to be reasonable. And then you need to go through a training provided by the judge advocate of the National Guard. And then, of course, there's a sentence here that says that even if you don't get the training, as long as your force was reasonable, then you can still assert this privilege. This would be a defense to a civil liability. So I think this is a fair bill. I think we've made some amendments that hopefully get at the issues here on the floor. So I ask for your support.
Any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Senator Bogner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the body. I had some questions on this bill the first time around, and the amendments address those questions, so I'd appreciate your support on the bill. Thank you.
Is there further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, does the Senator wish to close? The Senator has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Fitzpatrick. When this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration House Bill 63, I recommend the same be concurred in. Any in favor of the motion, please vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 44 senators vote aye and 6 senators vote nay.
With 44 senators voting aye and 6 voting no, House Bill 63 has been concurred in. Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you have now before you for your consideration House Bill 306. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
House Bill 306, introduced by Mitchell and others, a bill for an act entitled an act requiring a candidate for office to be registered to vote, amending section, and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you have now before you House Bill 306. What is your pleasure, Senator Nolan?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having had under consideration House Bill number 306, I recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Nolan.
Members, thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, what this is doing is if a person's going to run for civil office, they should be registered to vote. Vote green.
Is there a discussion on the motion? Are there any amendments?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a discussion on the motion? Senator Gross.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm rising in opposition to this bill, though I was not in the hearing. I have some concerns with it. Primarily, my concern is around what I have seen as efforts to make it more difficult to register to vote. I also think the bill was better before it was amended. I'm not sure if it was amended in the House or the Senate. But previously it said a person would not be eligible to hold office if they were not registered to vote at the time of the election, but it's been changed to the filing deadline. So someone could have been removed from the absentee rolls or removed from the voter roll for some reason and not have been notified about that at the time of filing. And it may be too late at that point for them to straighten out their voter registration, prove their proper address, and then file. So I think that we want to make sure that that folks have the information that they need, that they're registered to vote, they know it. And I see this having some unintended consequences down the road. Thank you.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Senator Cuff.
Mr. Chairman, and she's exactly right in what she said, but that becomes a requirement to vote. You have several months in which you can file, and you should be checking to see that what the requirements are. So I don't see this as a big issue. I think we should carry it forward.
Further
yes.
Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, Senator Nolan, you wish to close?
I would just like to say, if someone can't figure out how to get registered to vote, maybe they shouldn't run for civil office. Vote yes.
The question now arises, the motion of Senator Nolan, that when this committee does write and report after having under consideration House Bill 306, that I recommend the same be concurred in. As many are in favor of the motion, please vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 32 senators vote aye and 18 senators vote nay.
With 32 senators voting aye and 18 voting no, House Bill 306 has been concurred in. Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you have now before you for your consideration House Bill 107. The clerk will read the title and the history of the bill.
House Bill 107, introduced by Barker by request of the Department of Military Affairs, a bill for an act entitled an act revising laws related to emergency preparedness and response, aligning the responsibilities of the State Emergency Response Commission with federal law, assigning certain responsibilities to the Division of Disaster and Emergency Services of the Department of Military Affairs, revising the funding priorities of the State Emergency Response Commission, revising the requirements of the State Disaster and Emergency Plan, amending references to hazardous material incident response teams, revising definitions of any sections, and extending rulemaking authority.
Are there any corrections to the history in the title of the bill as read?
No, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
1 through 16.
Members of the committee, you have now before you House Bill 107. What is your pleasure, Senator Fox?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 107, that I recommend the same be concurred in, Mr. Chair.
Senator Fox.
House Bill 107 is one I didn't forget today. The intent of it is to improve the efficiency of appointed boards and commissions by aligning the duties of the State Emergency Response Commission, the CERC, to the federal requirements outlined in Emergency Planning Community Right to Know Act. and reducing the number of board members to perform those duties and responsibilities that are not organic to CERC or transferred to the Division of Division of where did I lose that at? The emergency DES, Division of Emergency Services, excuse me. The bill will do two things. It will reduce the membership of the CERC committee from 29 to 8 to a manageable size that can effectively carry out the federal requirements of the CERC responsibilities. Amendments were introduced to include more local representation, and this bill will allow greater attention and focus on hazard material response planning. As you remember what happened in the last couple of train derailments back east in the Midwest, they had a real poor response to the trains when they derailed and had the hazardous material. So in the past, this bill will allow greater attention and focus on hazardous material response planning. While it should be the primary focus of the CERC, it has become a small portion of the CERC meeting agenda. Duties outside of hazardous material will be moved to the Disaster and Emergency Services Division. And that's pretty much the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Senator McCamey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a really important bill, and it was at the request of the Department of Military Affairs. This is to expedite the operations that have been detailed here and some of the really sensitive substances that have to be handled. There are procedures that they will have to follow, but this needs to be put into place in order to be able to get it done. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Enrich.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Would the carrier stand for a question?
Senator Fox.
I'll yes. stand.
Senator Enrich.
Mr. Chair, Senator, I have a question about page 5, line 28. So in that section, it talks about the prohibitions provided in the subsection B does not apply to persons confirmed to have communicable disease and who are currently under a public quarantine order. What would define a public quarantine order, and what would define a proven to have a communicable disease?
I'm not really sure what that is referring to, being the carrier of the bill only.
Thank you. I would speak to the bill.
Senator Enrich.
Mr. Chair, members of the body, I like all of this bill except for I think this is a little bit concerning when we're talking about public quarantine order. Is that a federal order or is that a state order? And then we have no definition of what defines a person to confirm to have a communicable disease. Can the feds just basically come in and do a public quarantine order without any proof? Or, you know, and what does that look like? And then when you're talking about a communicable disease, I think that needs to have some little bit more definition on how that would be proven and confirmed. I would recommend a no vote on this at this time, and I would recommend sending this back to committee and have that looked at. Thank you.
Senator McCamey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for indulgence in allowing me to speak twice. This refers to sub 2, which says the state disaster and emergency plan and program may not, and then you go down to it's denying a customer, but on the prohibition, it could be a county order, folks. It could be a city order. It doesn't have to be a federal order. It could be a state order. It's a public order. And it's when you are dealing with communicable diseases, it's a concern not to have those individuals dealing with the public at that time. So regardless of what there is, if it's an endemic or a pandemic, it could be a county to help answer the question. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
There further discussion? Seeing none. Senator Fox, would you wish to close?
In closing, Mr. Chair, I'd just like to respond just a little bit to the good senator to my left. We've been dealing with these type of issues for people who are have diseases and are whatnot for a long time. And this is mainly dealing with our responses to hazardous material and whatnot. So I close, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Fox that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration House Bill 107, the recommend the same be concurred in. Many are in favor of the motion. Please vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 46 senators vote aye and 4 senators vote nay.
With 46 senators voting aye and 4 voting no, House Bill 107 has been concurred in. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee rise and report.
You have heard the motion of Senator, the Majority Leader. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, vote no. The ayes have it.
Secretary will read the report.
Mr. President, will your Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration business on second reading, respectfully report as follows. House Bills 614 and 758 passed consideration. House was concurred in. House was 47, 63, 107, 245, 284, 306, 400, 578, 582, 610, 615, 655, 664, 675, 684, 703.
Is that all?
That is all, Mr. President.
Senator Lang.
Mr. President, I move adoption of the committee report.
You've heard the motion of Senator Lang that the committee of the whole report be adopted. As many in favor of the motion, signify by voting yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Senator Kilker, Senator Bartel. Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 49 have voted aye. 1 has voted no.
49 haven't voted aye. 1 haven't voted no. Committee of the whole report has been adopted. Thank you, Senator Lang. Mr. Majority Leader.
Order of business number 9.
Motions.
Mr. President, I move to re-refer House Bill 245 by Representative Vinton, revised tax credits for trades, education, and training to the Finance and Claims Committee.
Without objection, so ordered.
All right, Mr. President, this is the next motion. Just want to give everybody a background before I make the motion. As you know, we are experiencing a voluminous number of bills this session, so we're going to move a few transmittal deadlines to help us process the bills. So, Mr. President, I move to suspend the joint rules to move the following transmittal deadline dates. Number one, transmittal of amendments to general bills from Legislative Day 73 to Legislative Day 76. Transmittal of amendments to appropriation bills and revenue bills and bills proposing referenda from Legislative Day 80 to Legislative Day 82. Transmittal of amendments to the revenue estimating joint resolution from Day 82 to Legislative Day 83. And transmittal of interim city resolutions from Legislative Day 85 to Legislative Day 84.
Okay, since this is a motion to suspend the rules, we'll actually go to the board on this one. All those in favor of the motion, vote yes. Those opposed, vote no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Senator Sayles, Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 46 have voted yes, 4 have voted no.
46 haven't voted yes, 4 haven't voted no. The motion carries. Mr. Majority Leader, any further motions? Senator McGilvery.
Mr. President, I rise on a point of order.
Senator.
And this has to do with Senate Rule 5200 on changing the vote. Yesterday we had a senator change a vote on Senate Bill 534, which was a constitutional amendment on districting. And that vote, I believe, can change the outcome because that bill has to go to the House floor for vote, and that could very well change the outcome, that one vote. So, and then also, according to Legislative Rule 5090, I would like us to reconsider that vote since it's within one legislative day. I would object to that.
Senator, so let me just get this right. Your motion is to object to the allowing that person to change their vote because it could affect the outcome of that bill.
And we were within one legislative day on that vote. Thank you.
I understand. And I will allow two opponents and two proponents. Senator Flowers.
Thank you, Mr. President. I believe the rule on that is if you object to somebody changing their vote, then we go to the board to approve or disapprove that person, that senator, changing their vote. That's the way I read the rule.
That's, Mr. President, that's correct. That is the rule. But you cannot change the vote if that vote could have... The rule says you cannot change your vote if it might affect the outcome. And I contend that that change of vote on Senate Bill 534 could very well affect the outcome.
Senator Flowers, I think he's answered your question, if that was a question. So the good Senator McGilvery is just making the motion for us to reconsider our action on that vote, allowing that vote to change.
I accept that. Thank you.
Okay. So we'll take this one to the board. So on the motion of Senator McGilvery to not allow that vote to change, so you would need a yes to not allow it to change. Is that correct, Senator?
Mr. Chairman, yes, my motion is to not allow it to change, so that's a green light.
Okay.
Mr. President, I believe the correct motion here, I just want to make sure we're right, is we are reconsidering our action to allow the change of the vote. So I believe that's a motion to reconsider by Senator McGilvery.
Okay, so the motion is to reconsider that action. All those in favor say aye or vote yes. We're going to vote on this. To the board.
Mr. President.
Senator Flowers.
I just want to be clear on what we're voting on. We are voting on whether the good senator from Butte was allowed to change her vote. So a yes vote means we approve her ability to change that vote. No.
No, Senator. We are...
It's an overall reconsideration of the redistricting...
allowing that vote to change, Senator.
It's a reconsider...
Our actions.
Of the motion to change your vote. So,
could we stand at ease for a second? I just don't want to make a mistake on this. Thank you.
Senate will stand at ease.
Allow her to win two votes. Motion to reconsider her action. And then we'll take a vote to
Wouldn't we do that first? Wouldn't we do her vote first?
No, because it's going to be on the action.
We should ask for
So you could ask, you could, I think the correct decision would be to ask the
Senate will be back in session. So we're still on that motion to reconsider our action from yesterday. So a yes vote is a vote to reconsider the action from yesterday. All those in favor, vote yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Senator Gross. Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 35 have voted yes, 15 have voted no.
35 haven't voted yes, 15 haven't voted no. The motion to reconsider our action has passed. Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. So, point of order, our next vote is on whether we allow the good senator from Butte to have changed her vote from yesterday. And so, if we vote yes, that means we approve of her ability to have changed her vote, correct?
Well, we don't have a motion yet, Senator. So,
but that's what it will be, correct?
I would imagine the motion will be for that, yes. Now, yeah. I think what you're asking for is a ruling from me that the rules apply and that it could affect the outcome of that bill.
Yes, Mr. President.
So as I look at it, yes, it could absolutely affect the outcome. May not affect it in this chamber, but as of the total outcome, with that vote coming off, it would affect the outcome. So that is what I rule. And then I will accept a motion at this point.
Mr. President.
Senator McGilvery.
I would make a motion to object to that vote change from yesterday. So I'd appreciate a green light to object to that.
Senator McGilvery, if you talk, I think you need to rephrase.
Yes. So I'm just asking for a no vote on her motion to change her vote.
Okay. And we'll allow for two opponents and two proponents on this. Senator Dunwell.
Mr. President, thank you. Point of personal privilege.
Senator.
Mr. Chair, this is so significant, and I am totally lost on what's going on. May I suggest we call Todd Everetts, our legislative counsel? This is what he's for, Mr. President. Thank you.
Senator, I've already made my ruling. So we're not going to call a parliamentarian up here. I mean, the minority leader, the majority leader, agree to what we did discuss. Unfortunately, when that motion was made yesterday, that could affect the outcome of that piece of legislation. So when that representation was made, that it would not. It was, and I don't think it was deceptive in any way, shape, or form, but just a misunderstanding. So all we're doing here is correcting that mistake, because that mistake would have not been made if we had a better understanding at that time. Senator.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. Could you please tell me what a green means now and what a red means now?
Senator, as soon as I get a proper motion, then that's what we're going to do. So, and I will clarify. Senator, what is your motion? So your motion, Senator, is not to allow her to reverse that vote from yesterday.
Mr. President, maybe we should take a break, but I just want to make sure I was clear. We've reconsidered the action, so I believe the vote or the motion made by Senator McClafferty has now been null and void. I guess the question is whether she wants to make the motion again, and then we can have the vote on it.
Okay, so do you understand that, Senator Dunwell? So we've made the motion to reconsider our action. That motion has passed. So now, if the good senator would like to change her vote, she would then make that motion to change that vote.
Okay. Can I do that now?
Senator, if you would like to speak with the minority leader for a second, I think he... We can be patient here. Senator McClafferty.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the Senate, I ask that I am allowed to change my vote on SB 534. I believed at the time and still do that it won't affect the outcome here in this chamber. Thank you.
Senator Margeau, for what reason are you rising?
Mr. Chair, rises in support of the motion. That's okay.
Senator.
Mr. Chair, I think we should honor what the good senator's vote was intended to be. I think we're kind of in a gray area here. I think we heard the president say it could. The language in here says it would. A vote may not be changed if it would change the outcome. We don't know if it will or won't. But at the end of the day, we should honor what the good senator's vote was intended to be. She made a mistake, and we should honor what her vote was. So, on the fact that, we're speculating what the outcome might be, I think we should support Senator McClafferty and her motion.
Senator Friedel.
Mr. Chair, can I stand in a point of privilege?
You may.
Mr. Chair, Mr. President.
534.
I believe she should be allowed to change her vote. But the reason is because we are human, we make mistakes, and I think that if we are human, we should be allowed to fix our mistakes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Bogner.
Mr. President, I believe before we get into discussion, someone has to object to that motion, so I object to the motion by Senator McClafferty.
So we're going to take this, Mr. Majority Leader.
This is not a debatable motion, Mr. President, so let's just go to the board.
We're going to go to the board. So a vote of yes will allow Senator McClafferty to change her vote. A vote of no will not allow her to change her vote. Many of those in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 22 have voted yes, 28 have voted no.
22 haven't voted yes, 28 haven't voted no. Senator's motion does not carry. Okay, any other motions? Seeing none, order of business 12, announcements of committee meeting. Senator Regeer.
Mr. President, Senate Judiciary will meet tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, 5 bills, executive action, 8 o'clock.
Senator Esp.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Finance and Claims tomorrow morning, 7:30 a.m. We'll be back on House Bill 2, and I would just request that those of you with policy committees that have bills with fiscal notes larger than $50,000 a year, hear them first, especially if you're going to amend them. and get them back out to the floor so we can get them back down there before the deadlines. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Small.
Mr. President, Senate Business and Labor, 9:30 a.m. tomorrow morning. We'll be off to a late start for a whole bunch of executive action. Thank you.
Senator Cuff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. State Administration, 3 o'clock today, room 335. And also, Mr. Chairman, State Administration will be planning to meet Friday afternoon. The bills to be considered will be posted. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Sales.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Energy Telecommunications, tomorrow we'll have a room change, 303, one bill tomorrow.
Senator McGilvery.
Mr. President, Public Health will meet today at 3 o'clock. We have, I think, five bills in executive action.
Senator Wellborn.
Senate Natural Resources at 3 o'clock.
Senator Solomon.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Education, 3 o'clock.
Senator Hertz.
Mr. President, Senate Tax will not meet tomorrow, Friday, 8:30 a.m., 4, 5, 6 bills.
And Senator, if you will refund the good senator her $20 from the basketball. Senator Friedel.
I can be done.
Mr. President, I believe that's $40. Mr. President, local government will meet today. Executive action first, have 9 bills afterwards. Mr. President, may I be off and out for
off and out of what, Senator?
Can I be off and out?
Of what?
Off the record and out of the journal for a reason for an announcement.
Senator.
Mr. President, I just want to remind everybody today at 5:30 that the firefighters across the street are having a barbecue. If you guys want to have some good barbecue, snake on over there. It's at 200 Montana Avenue. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Lang.
Mr. President, room 335 tomorrow, Senate Legislative Administration, 11:15. 11:15, Senate Administration.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just so everybody, particularly for the committee chairs, we'll get a new a memo out to you on kind of a rough schedule. But just off the top of my head, I think we're probably going to run normal days all next week now that we've moved some of those deadlines. So there's more time here for you to schedule bills and have hearings. So we'll hopefully get that out to you later this afternoon. We'll obviously get it out to everybody in the Senate as well. So with that, Mr. President, I move the Senate stand adjourned until the hour 1 o'clock on April 6, 2023, the 69th legislative day.
You've heard the motion of the majority leader. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no, nay. The ayes have it. The Senate will reconvene tomorrow at 1 o'clock.